game site about nothing. The Kronk Games Podcast. In the mid-2000s, two nerds with a website tried to make it last. Welcome to the dance.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to A Game Site About Nothing, the Kronk Games Podcast. I am still Ray Barnhold, and with me on the other end of the internet, as always, still again, Alex Fraioli.
Reporting for duty.
Gotta figure out a better intro for this show, but nevertheless, here we are again talking about our website, kronkgames.com, that we had.
It's still active.
It's still up. Active,
yes, up,
is,
I should say.
Yeah, let's let's choose our words carefully.
It's still a valid URL. That should be our slogan.
We're past the prologues. This is our first proper episode now, and that means it is the one exclusive for Patreon subscribers right now. So hi, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for your $5.
Yes. Thank you for not eating the $5.
Yeah, so get ready for the real shit. Right? We're not fucking around anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're
going to swear a lot more.
Yeah. Poop.
No? Okay.
Ding-a-ling.
So, nevertheless, we did our prologues, and last time we were talking about basically all of 2002 for us, wherein we joined the GIA and then joined the fake GIA spinoff. And then just sort of, also went to E3 for the first time, all that fun stuff. There's actually a whole part of that year I left out, and we're going to talk about it in the next episode.
Wait, what? We're going out of chronological order?
Yeah, I need, listen, this is going to be a tangent-filled series, so.
Okay.
We're going to take some detours. We're going to jump back and forth a bit, because we need to cover certain topics in certain ways. That's what I just set as a rule right now. And so that's what we're going to do. Okay.
All right.
I mean, I did originally think like going year by year, but there was so many different things that got all twisted up in different sorts of issues mentally and otherwise that I just need to devote special time to it.
I also imagine there were years where just nothing happened.
Oh yeah, pretty much. That would be the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Functionally speaking, the site really was only operating for one calendar year.
Yes.
2003 to 2004 was when any content got done regularly. This is not a spoiler. This is just the facts. You can go to the site and look.
Yes, it's
even
this
sorted
is just
by
the
year.
Nature of the business.
Is it? Our business.
For fan sites, like, yeah. For small scale fan sites.
I suppose so. It was the nature of our business. And we mind our own business.
We do.
Okay, so that was that. 2002. We got off of this thing called Game Forms, and then after E3, and then everything was kind of like, you know, what are we going to do like for ourselves? Could we do something that is like fun? Because we still have these delusions of wanting to write for a video game website or magazine, whatever media, professionally. And so is there something we could still do to like try and make a name for ourselves, let's say? And the idea was, well, let's just go ahead and try our own little website. And I came up with the name Krunk Games. And now, listen, I did not really know what Krunk meant. I am...
Hence my confusion at the time.
Yes. Alex was not exactly, you know, jumping at it. And I don't blame him. But I did coerce him into accepting it. So the thing is that I just thought it was a funny sounding word that was also being used contemporaneously in the culture at the time. I did not exactly know it came from hip hop culture, essentially.
You're talking about the diminutive Jonathan.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am just a white kid from the countryside, basically, and not getting a whole lot of popular music fed into me. I don't have any problems with hip hop, but generally back then I just wasn't into it, and still not fully into it today, but I know there's lots of good stuff. It was just a total like blind spot. I just heard the word being used in some sort of context. I don't even remember what, but it sounded funny and goofy. Ha ha. So random. And, it just seemed like a thing to do. And that's sort of what my problem is in general with the sort of sense of humor I have is that I will just sort of put things out there with the secret intent of it being tongue in cheek, and not everyone gets it at first. That's sort of like a very general, vague way of saying what my sense of humor is like at times. It's got
I'm in the same boat, and it's something that's been exacerbated by social media, where people will rush in to correct your joke.
Absolutely. Stuff like that definitely burned me on Twitter and other things, where it's just like you just get a response that's just like very straight faced, and I was just like, I know.
What?
It wasn't what I was going for. Okay, look, I know. But you can't really say that all the time either. So,
No, you can say it most of the time.
Well, not to like friends of yours, not to like people. You can't be like, yes, I know.
That's okay. That's true. Yeah, I don't have my friends trying to correct my jokes because I understand how my sense of humor works.
Well, we have a couple friends,
but,
like that.
But randos all day, every day.
Oh yeah, randos go to hell.
Go to rando hell.
Kiss my butt. Go to hell. Go to hell.
Okay. you smell. They never see it coming. Yeah, I wasn't sure about the name, but I trusted you because you're a goof.
Yeah.
And I'm a goof. And okay. So I was basically just thinking, like, you know what? If this other goof says it's a good idea, it must be a good idea.
I don't have any idea if there were any other names in contention.
I don't either.
You don't remember anything that you might have come up with? It was probably just
remember.
Me. It probably just Crunk Games popped in my head, and I just ran with
it. Two guys from Kabul?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, one guy and and a kraut. Yeah, it was probably just the thing of like, I believed in my heart that that was the best name, the first one I came up with, and so there it was. So I registered crunkgames.com. And I then still have every reason to believe that Lil Jon's mobile game endeavor called blinggames.com was a response to us holding that domain. Lil Jon, of course, famous for popularizing the term crunk in his music and such. And then,
I either didn't know or forgot about this.
No,
this
it was something random I even found. It was just like Lil Jon got in some, you know, scammy agreement with a mobile game company and decided to put up a website for it called Bling Games. Because that was Lil Jon's other thing, was saying the word bling a lot. But you think about it, and it's like, well, Bling Games doesn't roll off the tongue quite as well as Crunk Games. Right? Now, I'm biased, of course.
Yeah, hang on. Crunk Games, Bling Games. I don't know. I like Bling Games.
Professional voice actor on the other side here, letting us know if like, things roll off the tongue or not.
Yeah, Bling Games. It's like Burlingame.
And also,
where Lil Jon's from? Oh.
Really? I didn't know that.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm kidding.
That'd be neat.
I mean, maybe. I haven't looked into it.
I
wait,
don't
wasn't
know.
Wasn't he a Southern rapper? Hang on, I'll look this up now. We should know this.
Hmm,
I always assumed he was from Atlanta.
We should know everything about Lil Jon just based on the fact.
We should. Yeah. Jonathan H. Smith. Born in 71. Wow. Known professionally as Lil Jon as an American rapper and the former frontman of the rap group Lil Jon and the East Side Boys, he was instrumental in the emergence of the hip-hop subgenre crunk and is credited with bringing the genre into mainstream success. He was born in Atlanta, Georgia, I was right, and raised in a middle-class neighborhood located in southwest Atlanta. He's the oldest of five children, born to his father, an aerospace engineer with former military service, and his mother with a medical career within the military. Cool.
All right, the ATL.
There we go.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess crunk became a subgenre as well. All right, that's fine. That's cool. Works for me. But it was funny because this was like at least 9 months to a year after we had the site. And it was just like a press release or something about Lil Jon's blinggames.com. And I was just like, I mean, this was obviously after I finally found out where the fucking word came from, crunk. And I was just like, aha, maybe they just decided to go with that name instead of trying to buy the domain off us. Who knows?
It's also possible the word crunk had lost some of its cachet and bling was on the rise.
Maybe, man. I mean, come on. It was 2003.
Why don't we ask Lil Jon? Look, there's a link to his website, liljon.com. I'm just going to go there.
Okay.
Newsletter sign up, input name and email. Okay.
That doesn't send him an email, though. That sends you an email.
You'll sign us. Okay, so Nomar W. Whoppers. Your email, nomorewhoppers@gmail.com.
All right.
All right, well, we might have some answers next episode.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were going to write. We'll have some Lil Jon news.
We'll have some
news.
Maybe
that'll be a recurring segment. Yeah. Wait, hang on. Update. There was an error trying to send your message. Please try again later.
Okay. All right. I guess Lil Jon's IT team might need to come in there and brush up that form.
You got to pay those people.
All right. Nevertheless, I think the name also works out because it's a Japanese candy bar called Crunky.
Yeah.
And that became a very easy thing for us to reference. After I redesigned the site once, we had a randomized logo image. It would pick from a pool of images every time you loaded the site up. And so one of them was just me taking part of the Crunky wrapper and making that as our logo. Haha, again, so random.
Crunky's good. It's LOL. Good stuff.
So the site was just going to be you and me mostly. Didn't really have many aspirations beyond that, but it was just going to be like a light, L-I-T-E, light ripoff of the GIA, as opposed to Game Forms, which was just trying to be the GIA again and didn't really work out.
No.
Because they didn't think of anything beyond that. And so this was about fall 2002, late fall perhaps, because it would take us until January to get it done. But it was a lot of me working until like 2 or 3 in the morning, designing the thing in what was then Macromedia Dreamweaver.
Wow.
Probably while Alex is sleeping and going to school and stuff.
Hang on. Until 2, 3 a.m. your time. Oh, yeah, that would have been because I was in the future.
Yeah.
So that would have been 5 to 6 a.m. Yeah, I was definitely asleep.
Yeah. And of course, you know, I was generally going to bed past 2 to 3, 4 a.m. to begin with. Because as we established last time, I was 19 and a dirtbag.
Well, we all were at one point.
But me especially, based on my situation, which we discussed. And so I had the name and I was thinking about the concept, design wise. And I was, in terms of my design stuff, I like to try and be a little different. And so I was thinking up like, how about like a maroon and like sort of a cream sort of scheme? Because like, you know, the typical sort of stuff that we saw at GIA or Game Form is just very neutral colors, just sort of like a white mainly background just for the text and everything. This would be mostly maroon and some cream and then some splashes of black for some bars, little section headers and things like that. It turned out the colors were all wrong because my monitor's gamma was wrong.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
I loved low gamma.
Okay.
but it would make everything else bright. So the color I wanted on my monitor would turn out being something completely different to essentially everyone else who doesn't like messing with their monitor settings.
Oh, boy.
So the site spent, I'd say, about the first year with this shitty, brighter than intended red, not quite the maroon I was going for. And no one ever brought it up.
Oh.
I don't know. I mean, certainly I'm sure they thought, oh, this must be on purpose. But after it just looked like the site's whole entire brightness was turned up too high. When if you came to my house and saw it on my monitor, it would look pretty good. And I don't even know how I found out, really. Maybe it was looking at it on someone else's computer at E3 or something. I couldn't even.
Oh, boy.
Remember. I was just like, oh, I've screwed up.
What's wrong with your computer?
I'm a dummy. But that was corrected for the next year and after, of course. But yeah.
Okay. Real quick, hang on. I don't see this in the doc, but what happened to Crunk Monkey? We had a mascot.
We did. The mascot's name was Angst Monkey. Thanks for keeping up,
Alex. Sorry, Angst Monkey. Wait, was it? I mean, Crunk Monkey just rolls off the tongue better.
God damn it.
Yeah. Angst Monkey.
I'm a bling monkey.
Angst Monkey.
Yeah, okay. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we can talk about that for a little bit.
Okay.
I don't think the idea was to have Angst Monkey be like anything more than like a little guy we would put on our reviews, holding up our ratings, you know, little cartoon character. It wasn't going to be like, oh, we're going to make a fucking, almost a crunk monkey. We're going to make an angst monkey webcomic or anything. That wasn't it. Ask me about my failed webcomic attempt. That's a whole different story, unrelated. But
oh, tell me about your failed webcomic attempt.
Nearly contemporary with all this, as it turned out. But oh. Yeah. No, that wasn't really the idea. There was no intention for me to turn it anything else. It was just a very simple sort of character, just to put on like our watermark and our review rating image things. And that was about it. And again, Angst Monkey, another example of me going, haha, isn't that a funny term to use? Angst.
Well, I mean, monkeys were big at the time. I believe this was pre-Ape Escape, but it was post-Super Monkey Ball, and monkeys were on everyone's minds.
It's true. Right? Monkeys were just goofy, man.
Yeah.
Look at Curious George.
No, wait. This would have to be post-Ape Escape, because I remember the GIA hosted the Ponce Très Bien Ape Escape commercial.
Yeah. No, that was for the PS2 Ape Escape.
Right. Okay. That's right. Yeah. I forgot Ape Escape 1.
Ape Escape came out. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So yes, I did also come up with a little character called Angst Monkey, which we really didn't do anything with. And no. I'm not sure everyone even saw like the full body shot of Angst Monkey. He wore socks.
That's right.
That's it. No one ever saw his socks, I don't think.
So where are we on merchandising? Why didn't we ever produce Angst Monkey socks to sell?
Yeah. Good question, huh?
Right.
They were modeled after the socks I was wearing at the time.
Wow, gold toe.
Yeah. No.
Cool.
No, they were gray.
Oh.
Well, they probably
were gray toe.
Yeah. But he was called Angst Monkey mostly because he had a permanent scowl on his face.
That's right.
And I thought, oh, yes, he's angsty. He looks angsty. Let's go with that. Ha ha. Aren't I clever?
You have to understand, kids, angst wasn't yet completely played out in 2003. There was a little bit of juice left in it.
Of course. I suppose so. Yeah. Once again, not exactly sure where the source came from, or, you know, where the seed was planted in my head, but yeah. I think because Crunk Monkey probably came up, but it seemed too obvious to me.
Oh, I like Crunk Monkey.
It just seemed like too redundant too. Crunk Games, Crunk Monkey. Like,
I guess.
You have Crunk Games. And then there's Angst Monkey.
You're right. You know what? You're right. Die Hard Game Fan didn't have Die Hard Game Monitor.
Exactly. There you go.
It was just Monitor.
Game Pro did have Game Pro.
Did they?
Yes.
Was it a kid? I bet it was a kid named Zach.
It was a man.
Oh. It was a man named Zachary.
What was his damn name? I don't know. You can look it up in some of the early issues.
Jim Pro, that was his name. But this show isn't about game professional.
It turned out after we designed Angst Monkey, who of course shared the sort of maroon and cream color of the site, a couple years later, Sony would come out with a game called Toro and the Shooting Star. And Toro, of course, the little cartoon mascot for Sony's PlayStation,
yeah, right,
stuff in Japan.
With local theme by Ayano Tsuji.
Yes. Yeah. It's a pretty cool game. It also has a monkey character that is maroon colored and looks a lot like Angst Monkey does. Except that it is it's a Meganico. It's a little girl monkey.
Oh, that's now I remember.
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
That's right. Now I completely remember.
Yeah.
That's coming back.
And I would end up covering that game quite a bit on Crunk Games, so it was it's very cyclical, yeah, as it turned out.
Yes.
But yeah, I had the site concept, and sort of like the GIA in a way, it was going to be like three columns with, you know, two sidebars on the side and then like a main feature / news column, whatever, the body of the articles or, and whatnot. Not exactly like the GIA because it was more like two column, but it would have, you know, in an article, you would have on one sidebar, the main info for the game, and on the other sidebar, something else, maybe. But in terms of like the front page, it was just for like showing the most recent features, and then the most recent features on the left, maybe, and then the most recent reviews and stuff on the right, I believe it was. You know, it should have been how the site looks now with a fixed width in the center. But I wasn't that smart for another year or so. So the middle part just stretched 100% along the width of the screen. That also didn't make it look good when, you know, we very quickly, as a society, improved our computer resolutions and things. So it wasn't looking good, and it was just kind of amateurish in general because I was still kind of relying on old methodology of how I'd make web pages. Again, I was big on front page. I never really learned HTML. I think we talked about this in the first episode.
Okay.
It was apps. I loved the apps where I could use the WYSIWYG editing.
WYSIWYG!
A stolen copy of Macromedia Dreamweaver was very crucial in getting Crunk Games made. And so that was the basic design of that first version.
I've never trusted WYSIWYG, and that extends now to my current blog, because I use WordPress on that thing, and it does have a visual editor which just sucks 100% of the time. It never is able to do the thing that I want it to do unless I go right to the HTML. I'm a big fan of the HTML.
That's great.
Yeah.
WordPress, the built-in stuff is not that great. You gotta have to buy a whole new like theme that has its own editor built in. That's, again, speaking from experience, I'm still a dummy.
We're all dummies.
This show is sponsored by Squarespace. But yes, to answer your question, we were going to do some news, but news in general was pretty ethereal. You know, we only wrote paragraph long updates that would just not be designed for archiving necessarily. We put it right on the about page, I think, for the site where we said, this is not a news site. So we had to make that clear up front. This was not, I mean, the GIA was kind of known for its news and more than anything, I would say. And
yes.
We were not
Scoops.
That because A, we were doing it a hell of a lot, both back at the GIA and then sort of professionally in freelance terms again, next episode. And B, like, yeah, I at least knew we were not going to be big enough to actually have any kind of presence in news. So like the general sort of vibe that we were going for was going to be stuff that we were interested in. And so we would definitely just hone in on things that mostly got from Japan in my case. And sort of just give interesting bits and takes of that. The news did not survive at all past 2005. I did the big redesign in 2006, which is what it looks like now. But everything is all on the Wayback Machine anyway. And we did have a little
fun.
We did have a news bit archive. That's what I called it, news bits. Because again, make sure it was supposed to be small. Nothing important necessarily, nothing substantial, nothing that we sourced ourselves, nothing that we scooped ourselves. It was just more like, hey, here's what's going on. Here's what we think is neat. And then that was the news.
I don't remember writing a lot of news because, again, I think we were just sick of it.
Yeah.
But I do remember writing, this must have been in 2003. I remember writing a news post that like had to be taken down because I was quoting a message board post. And the guy was like, hey, can you take that down?
Oh.
And it was the demise. I believe it was the demise of Versus Books.
Oh, yeah.
But it was on a forum. I don't think it was Gaff. It was either Nick DeBars. Is that how you say that? Or the other dude who worked on a lot of Versus Books. It was one of them posting on a forum that was basically an unofficial place, by the way. Just basically saying, yeah, Versus Books is dead. And I took that post and I quoted it directly to make a news post saying Versus Books is dead. And then I think they saw it the next day and they were like, please take that down. That was a forum post.
Yeah, but
so I did.
All right. Yep. It was our first taste of controversy.
Not really.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But hey, someone read the site.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You got it.
All right.
Yeah, pretty good. You got something going there.
Nice.
Yes, we did have a news bit archive page, so the news wasn't completely like disposable or gone the next day or whatever. But I did write that statement right on that page saying, yeah, this is not a news site.
Yeah.
I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's bad old writing. But yeah, it's just saying like there's a whole lot of sites that do all this news stuff. We're just doing it based on our peer review. The big thing that we could do and that I wanted to do more of and I didn't get a real chance to at the GIA or Game Forums was reviews and previews. Previews were mostly a lot of me transcribing Japanese articles on new stuff because that was what I was into. And so I would go to Famitsu.com or Game Watch and just see what they had that day or week, and then just sort of get weak machine translations of it, try and pick out the details, and just go like that. In a way, it was a news article, but it was supposed to be a substantial sort of preview to let people know what this game is about, and just the fact that, you know, more subtly say, hey, we're interested in this. This is the kind of thing we cover. And so that was stuff like latest entry in the Saburo Jinguji detective series, which didn't come out in America yet, or Aerobics Revolution from Konami, the cool DDR knockoff or spinoff. Reviews were mostly what we were buying, which meant they were mostly all positive.
Yes.
I don't think we really had a full-on negative review posted, even though we did have a negative rating. Our rating system was basically like a circle or an X or a squiggly line for
Yeah.
So even our reviews, I wanted it to be a bit just like straightforward, because you can get this all over the internet, whatever. It doesn't really matter, because it's all kind of just opinion for entertainment anyway. So the fact that we were reviewing what we bought just seemed not too surprising, I don't think. Because, like, I think in a rare moment, we did end up getting some press access from Atlas. And so Atlas did send us, what the hell did they call it? They were finished games, but they were pressed on retail PS2 discs, but not the final labels.
I don't remember this at all.
You got some of them from me.
What?
I think Samurai Western was one of them, because I gave that to you.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
I remember you gave that to me at E3, and I remember, for some reason, I thought you had just burned it to a disc.
No, they were called like press demos or preview demos, but they were actual retail discs. So anybody that is, you know, kids running a tiny video game website without an access to a debug kit could, in fact, play these new games and try and get some coverage. And Atlas can try and get some coverage out of it.
Cool.
But again, the other downside of that is that the games are finished. Like, they weren't going to actually send us unfinished games, and they were very close to being sold. So whatever. But in some cases, it was stuff that I think we got them sent a little bit too late for us to really write about them in the moment. This must have been around 2005 or so anyway, when we had a lot less going on. But yeah, I would get Stella Deus was another Atlas game. PS2 game that they sent me. I think now it's much easier to get that sort of stuff, especially if you're just like a streamer or an influencer, because companies will actually post on Twitter like, hey, content creators, sign up and we'll send you a key of this game coming out. And you could probably do that. So again, I think if Crunk Games existed today, it would probably be a YouTube channel or stream or something, and we could probably more easily get builds of games before they were out, you know. But yeah, Atlas was like the sole exception. They were the only people I know making those special kind of discs, which couldn't have been cheap, I imagine, because they were still retail discs, and so they still had to get pressed by the same factories that the real ship stuff was. Oof. I imagine not that.
Yeah, I remember getting this was for GameSpy. I got those. I mentioned this before. I got those Longrisser. Was it Longrisser?
Growlancer.
From work. Growlancer. There we go. From Working Designs, and they were just straight up pressed onto CDRs.
Yeah.
I had to use my my boot discs to actually play them.
Yeah, I mean, generally that was how it worked. There was no like official debug CD media that Sony would give you, except for like the PSP, but that was something else entirely. But yeah, you could just because it was just you had the debug console and would just play anything as long as it had the proper code on it. Yeah. Whereas, you know, a pressed, stamped, finished game had all that copy protection stuff embedded in it.
That's right.
And you had to have, you know, a retail console if you wanted to play that. I mean, that's something else we'll get into, I think, next episode, some of our debug preview adventures. Going back to reviews, it was mostly just stuff that we were already going to get and were into.
Yeah, it was very much Billy Hatcher, that's a circle. Twin Snakes, that's a circle.
Yeah, Billy Hatcher.
Didn't one of us review Billy Hatcher?
There is none right now on the site as it exists.
Can I go back and review it?
Sure, Alex. Go ahead.
All right.
If you want. Yeah.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
All right. Great. Go right ahead. Yeah. All right.
G-I-A-N-T-E-G-G.
E-G-G. No, I don't think we ever covered it.
Well, I'm going to give it a circle.
Okay, good. Amaru.
Yeah, thank you.
Great. Now, we mostly covered PS2 stuff.
Yeah, did I review a Dot Hack at some point?
I think I reviewed the first one, you did the second one, and then we stopped.
Okay. And then they didn't make any more.
No, of course not. It was all done after that.
It was all a dream.
Yeah, but of course the PS2 was where most of the hot stuff was happening in those days. Also the GameCube, like we covered a lot of GameCube stuff. I did like a three game special because I reviewed those Hudson remakes and also their Smash Brothers ripoff and just posted those, I think, on the same day.
Oh.
Because I'd bought those from Japan and also gave a favorable reviews to those, I believe.
Sure.
Why not?
I'm trying to think back. What were some of the reviews? I know I did Twin Snakes. I guess that Dot Hack. I cannot remember any other games I reviewed. Did I do a Japanese game or two? Did I do Katamari?
You did.
Okay. I remember doing a review of Phantasy Star Generation 1 for 1UP.com, but I may have written a second review for Krunk that was a little more personal, but I don't remember. Unfortunately, there's no way to find out.
You could just load it up. No, you didn't.
What?
You reviewed Silent Hill 3.
Okay.
And actually, I got to tell you, I did give an X to Dream Mix TV World Fighters, Hudson games. Yeah. It was just kind of a weak ass Smash Brothers ripoff. Didn't really have a whole lot going for it. Ironically fun in hindsight, 20 years later. I think all these games sort of have a special quality to them. Doesn't really matter how bad they are anymore, So
yeah. Zero Mission. Who wrote Zero Mission? You, damn it. I'm on the website now. Final Fantasy X-2. This I must have written this one. You!
Okay, here's the thing.
What?
But factually speaking, Alex did not contribute nearly as much to the site as I did.
That's true.
It's not a criticism, but Alex was also in college, and yes. I was not. I was staying at home, working on this site, like, week after week for, at least 1 year straight. So
yeah,
I had mini games coming in, mini games to write about from the preview side on the Japanese news sites. I was just creating content, and Alex would get to it when he wanted to, essentially.
Yeah.
I wasn't there to boss him around because this was just our thing, mostly for fun, a hobby, no grand ideas or hopes to make money off of it. Just do what you want when you can. And so that would lead to some things like, I believe, one of us would preview a game we wanted to cover, but the other one would then review it. I think that was Twin Snakes or maybe Snake Eater.
Okay.
You reviewed Twin Snakes. Maybe I previewed it, but I think the preview overwrote it or something. But yeah, there were a couple of situations like that, and it wasn't that big a deal.
It looks like we both contributed to the Final Fantasy Origins review. I did Final Fantasy 1, you did Final Fantasy 2.
Right, there was that too.
That's fun.
It was also a special occasion.
Yeah. Resident Evil Zero, that has to have been me.
No.
Yes!
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just scrolled it. Yeah. 25 words or less. Stars rookie Rebecca Chambers meets up with an escaped convict aboard a zombie-infested train and must cooperate with him in order to successfully escape.
Oh, yeah. Let me talk about that. The 25 words or less.
Okay.
I think that was the cleverest idea I ever had because there was not a lot of video game sites that would give you that little bit in an info box. That little little snackable bit of information that would just give you the overview of whatever the story was or what have you. So I made sure we incorporated that on every article that we wrote. And, it was more of a common thing in magazines, I think. I'm not saying it was the most innovative thing ever, but I thought it was a little bit fresher for a game website. But yeah.
I think it's handy.
You're right. So I had previews and reviews.
Yeah, I didn't do a lot of previews either. Did I do a preview for Dragon Quest VIII? I think I might have. I'm going to look it up. Guess what? I don't see it. Okay.
I think Dragon Quest VIII was too late. It was 2005.
No, it came out in Japan in 2004, didn't it?
All right. You were living there. I know, but did you have time to want to cover it?
I remember I started, I specifically have a memory of sitting in my dorm at Chubu writing a preview for Dragon Quest VIII for Krunk, but I may not have finished it. I remember writing it.
Yeah, right.
Or at least starting to write it, but I may not have finished it. It couldn't have been for 1UP, could it? Yeah, maybe it was.
Could have been.
I don't know.
No, I think we have everything current on there as far as the game articles go. So I
did a couple of profiles. Here's my profile on Shining the Holy Ark. That's a fun one.
Yeah. Can I talk about profiles then?
Yeah.
So that was our version of GIA's Vault articles, which was just covering essentially retro games, right? So stuff that, again, I mean, if it's two things I was into, it was import games and retro games. And that is still basically the case. But, you know, I wanted to make sure that I also had an outlet to write about old stuff. Or things that were at least a little bit recent, I suppose, because in 2002, I mean, no, we launched in January 2003. Boku no Natsuyasumi 2 had come out last fall, but I also wanted to write about Boku no Natsuyasumi 1. And so that became a profile in June 2003. I think I followed it up the next year with Boku Natsu 2. So there is one key example of doing that, because it was something that, you know, I really wanted to help get raise the profile of those games, of course, and writing the stuff about those were some of the first things I really did, and enjoy the seed of getting known as the Boku no Natsuyasumi guy, I suppose. That's another little example. You wrote Saturn ones. You were the Saturn guy on Crumb Games.
Yes, I just found my Saturn profile of the first Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Which came shipped with a copy of NHL 97. Off eBay, not from Capcom.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. I was like, wait a minute. Sega was that desperate.
I got it off eBay, and the guy shipped it late, and as an apology, he just tossed in a loose NHL 97.
All right. Here's cool. A video game. I'm sure you'll love
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Hey, it was great.
Yeah, right. I mean, I get it. I get it.
Puck physics, man.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, that was a melange of different things. And then there were the features. And I think that's what really helped us stand out, for better or worse. It was where our idea of funny was to shine. And
shine is in quotes.
Yeah. It was both trying to make funny things that involved, you know, like maybe mini reviews of games, like a collection of a roundup, you might say. But I did get relatively ambitious with some things, like a nearly full strategy guide for that Toro game I mentioned. You know, that was me pouring a whole lot more design and content into this site. And that was like the kind of overreach that helped me at my cheats, which is when I, you know, moved to San Francisco to work at 1UP and work on their cheat site at the time and make little strategy guides for that. I think also later on Scroll, when I wrote the Scroll magazines and did very similar things, where it's just sort of like doing more than is expected or necessary to cover a single game. And that was just the kind of thing I really enjoyed. So make a tangent off of that. I think sometimes I feel like I probably would have been content or okay, at least being a strategy guide writer. But that business was very fraught to begin with and basically now doesn't exist. I guess it's for the best that I didn't exactly try and pursue it. But in terms of like jumping into the tedium of taking screenshots and writing, compiling all that shit into a real book, I think I probably could have done it if I was a part of it. But it was not to be. That's okay.
Yeah, I remember writing a few. I think the last one I wrote was that Dragon Quest, it was an April Fool's article.
Yes.
A completely factual history of Dragon Quest.
Yeah. So on launch day, you had something. Do you remember what that was?
That was 10 inappropriate moments in gaming?
Yes.
Cool. It was, it was just meant to be stupid, but it was so stupid. Mm-hmm. And it was very brief. It was very short. It was like, it was, I regretted it almost instantly.
We'll get into it.
Okay.
I mean, I mentioned that you did not do a whole lot in general for the whole site, but you did work on features the most. And
yeah, because features are timeless, and I can work on them anytime, exactly. And I can post them anytime. They're not bound by release schedules.
Exactly. And so, yeah, that helped. In fact, one of yours was like our biggest traffic driver just based on people hot linking screenshots.
Was that the survival horror fashion showdown?
Yes, because you took pictures of like all of Rebecca's costumes or something.
Of course. Yes, that's right.
Rebecca and Jill, I think it was. And
yeah,
people just hot linked those with our watermark on them. And that just became a very highly trafficked set of files on our server there.
Yeah.
Not necessarily people running for the content, but the pictures of Jill and Rebecca.
Great content.
All right. Says who?
Says me in 2003.
Okay, fine. In terms of like our coverage, though, in general, like this was 2003, and I think gaming was good in 2003.
Yeah.
There was, you know, sort of the arguably peak years for all of the consoles. Things like the Game Boy Advance SP was coming out, you know, an improved Game Boy Advance, better screen. People were really excited about that and sort of visiting the Game Boy Advance library for the first time. And as part of that, I at least put out a feature compiling like the best of the Game Boy Advance at that time as sort of like a buyer's guide, things that were out then and about to come out for people who were getting a GBA SP. And I'm going to say it right now. I am going to, in some of these episodes of our series, be reinstating certain articles that were deleted in the redesign that I did in 2006. Some stuff that was either dated or perhaps controversial or contentious, at least to me. Mostly just dated, though. Things that were just like... just not relevant at the time anymore. And, but this is a special occasion. We're doing a historical sort of podcast here. And, really, who cares if it's dated or not, because everything else now on that site is. So I'm announcing today I've reinstated, republished the Game Boy Advance Buyer's Guide, 2003 Buyer's Guide.
Wow.
So that will be up right after you listen to this. You can go to crunkgames.com and find that.
All right.
There are several things that went, you know, deleted or unpublished. Not everything is going to be republished, but some of the things that we talk about, maybe. How about that? Look forward to it.
I just read through the Survival Horror Fashion Showdown again. Can we unpublish that? Can we flip the switch on that? Can we kill that one?
But it did so well.
In 2003, it's really bad.
Who
though.
Knows?
It's 20 years old. It's not well written. It's, I don't know what I was doing. It just sounds, it's not even a voice I was using for very long. I don't like it.
I mean, if that's what you really want down, I mean, there's many other examples we could get here. I mean,
Oh boy. I mean, let's,
there were so many worse things.
Fine. Keep it up as a cautionary tale.
Yeah, you should own it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I had a feeling this might come up and in my talking about reinstating articles that Alex may want to take some down as we revisit Crunk Games in general.
It's fine. I mean, look, what's the traffic like on the site these days? Is it double digits per year? It cannot be that high.
I don't really track it anymore. I think it's you and me.
Okay. Yeah. So it basically just exists as proof that, hey, we did this 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
But 2003 in games was very good, and that helped us put out a lot of stuff during that whole year and then also into 2004. And so if you go to Crunk Games now and just click 2003 as the archive, you see this whole rung of stuff, previews, reviews, and features, just like all that stuff that was coming out or out at the time. And it's just, you get a real nice snapshot of all the cool stuff that was coming out at that time. But yeah, to go back to certain features and things, let's talk a little bit about the voice and tone we were going for.
Yeah.
Which was bad?
Yes. And I think this was largely a response to the sort of tone that we kept up at the GIA, which was a little more serious. I know that at least in my case, I was eager to distance myself from that a little bit and write in a looser, sort of wackier style.
Yeah.
And sometimes it worked, and most of the time it didn't. That's just the process of finding your voice, I think. I think this was necessary.
I would also characterize it as transferring our IRC joking around into editorial. Yes. And what that also meant was a lot of inside jokes and references that no one outside of those IRC channels could possibly figure out.
Right. But we don't care because we're hipster pals, you know?
Yes. But like, for example, there's an icon. We used a little thumbnail for Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. And the little thumbnail of it is it still? Yes. It's still
there. Yeah.
Boku from Boku no Natsu Yasumi looking scared at a snake. Except, you know, if you haven't played Boku no Natsu Yasumi, you really have no idea what that is or what it looks like, because the snake looks like a blue line. I think it was all of like six polygons in the game. And at the time, at least, I also put in an alt text on that image called Ahabida, which also is what Boku says when the snake pops out and scares him. But just writing that as the alt text in joke reference, that also doesn't help anyone.
Well, no, let's stop and consider the cross-reference of people who have played Summer Vacation Spectacular Boku no Natsu Yasumi and are excited about Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. That cross-section was ecstatic.
Okay.
Wait, hang on. I've just got some new information. It was two guys.
Yeah, two guys.
Yeah, it was us.
An outside chance for Tim Rogers, but I don't think he was reading every day.
No. Hey, he liked my Twin Snakes review because it had a dumb gimmick that you hated and I think disabled.
Yeah. Did I hate it?
I mean, you disabled it without telling me.
Tell the audience what was it.
Just assume you did. So I wrote a Twin Snakes review, and in the HTML, I had a hidden timer, which I think was for 60 seconds, that after 60 seconds had elapsed while you're reading the review, it would then load. It would shift to an all-black page with just the green text in the upper left corner that said Crunkeo or Crunkio.
Oh, yeah. I read it as Crunkio.
And then I think after another few seconds, it would stay like that for about 10 to 15 seconds. And then it would go back to the review.
Yeah.
And your complaint was, that's cute, but it doesn't go back to the review at the place where you were reading. And I'm like, well, I don't know how to do that. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I don't know how to do that, but I want to do this anyway. And then Tim Rogers linked to it from his live journal saying, hey, did you read the Crunk Games Twin Snakes review? I mean, really read it.
Yeah.
And I think you eventually disabled that.
Well, I don't know about like in the original design, because when I did the redesign for it, I moved the site to WordPress. I don't think I could recreate it. Something went wrong where I couldn't recreate it.
Oh.
So, yeah, right now, no, it doesn't do that. But maybe if you did find the archived version, it'll still work.
Maybe.
From when it was put up when the game came out. Yeah. But, yeah. So, little in-jokes like that scattered around. Some of the photo captions for E3 were like that, I think. And then, basically, our friend Joel just brought in as comic relief.
Yeah, Joel.
Generally speaking, Joel was kind of a character, not really a real guy writing for the site. I mean, he was a real guy. He
was our friend that we would hang out with on IRC, and he came to E3 with us at least once. Yeah.
And also jabs at a guy from IRC, Rahul Chaudhary, who had his own fan site called Gaming Ingredients, which, to be fair, had a lot of thought put into the design, looked a lot better than our site ever did. It was more magazine-like, you know, sort of that skeuomorphic kind of design. So a lot of that. But we just didn't like him. So there were some jabs at him just because.
Well, I think that was also, I was sort of in a rebellious phase when it came to being pretentious about video games because.
Yeah.
I think the GIA was fine. The GIA was thoughtful and yes. analytic about video games.
Game Ingredients did have a certain bent to it. Yeah.
Yes. In the wake of the GIA, there was a lot more video game wankery. There was a lot more just sort of self-indulgent, pretentious sort of, you know, analyses of games.
And like I feel like Game Ingredients. Just kidding.
No.
I'm just kidding.
And I feel like maybe Game Ingredients was encroaching on that. But I don't remember. I don't know. It was probably fine.
It was fine.
We had the biggest fucking chip on our shoulders about anybody writing about games who wasn't us.
Yeah, I guess so. And it was just a lot of like turning everyone in just into comic relief.
Yeah.
Just trying to find like a punching bag and then hopefully, and at least in my case, hoping no one says anything or gets mad. And then if you it's just a joke.
I mean, sometimes the punching bag was us. Like yeah. I remember when the site launched, I remember going on Gaff. And somebody had actually posted my dumb 10 inappropriate moments in gaming article in its own thread. And I remember replying like, eh, this site's dumb and these guys seem dumb. Nobody knows who I am. No. Nobody knows I wrote that. The article isn't signed to Hooded Patooey, you idiot. Hey, nobody knows who the fuck I am.
This Hooded Patooey guy's right. This site sucks.
It was so fucking – just. It was so hipster doofus dumb. I'm glad that we've grown out of that, I think.
Well,
we don't go on podcast forums now and talk shit about Nomo. Whoa.
No.
Do you? Is that you?
All the big podcast forums? Yeah.
Are you Bronco fan 89?
No.
Okay.
That would be 83.
That's right. And you hate the Broncos.
Yeah.
Famously.
Sure. And Fords.
great.
Wait, no, I drive one.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, yes.
Fix it again, Tony.
So part of that whole...
Sorry. Just keep going. Let's ignore it. Let's keep going.
Yes. So there was hipster doofus. What'd you call it? Hipster doofus?
No, that's fine. Hipster doofus is fine.
Joking and japes and whatnot.
Yeah. Self-effacing hipster doofus, I think, is the term.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Which is weird because we didn't want to be that. And I guess we, in some ways, were that.
Yeah. It just kind of, we nestled into it as the default. Yeah.
I mean,
because it's easy.
A website where no one's really talking about it and you don't have a lot of friends in general, so you don't really know what people think about it. No one's really giving you immediate feedback. So I don't really know what people thought of us.
I don't know.
But this also included some IRC sense of humor things that didn't work out so well. And I'm talking about the whole, haha, we're gay thing.
See, that's fun because there were no other sites doing that at the time.
No, certainly not anyone in 2003 pretending to be gay because they're bros.
I don't think it was that overt.
No, but there were parts of it that crept up in things.
It was just goofy AOL and IRC conversations. That's it.
And I think for some reason, I think in the about text, in the about page originally, I suggested that sort of stuff being justifiable at the time, given the bent towards wacky Japanese games, and then trying to lean into that in kind of a self-deprecating, beat you to the punch in mocking me sort of way.
Okay,
but
sure.
I think mostly, unfortunately, it was also in lockstep with kind of the industry's extreme masculinity in this whole generation.
Yeah, which...
And I'm talking about, you know, the PS2 generation and millennials kind of in general. And 2003, not a great sort of culture for any of that.
No. You're talking about BMX XXX?
Sure. Let's use that as the capstone.
The game that like that thought it would be cool to lash back at our friend Nick for rightfully condemning it as a horrible piece of shit.
No, that was the guy game.
Oh, excuse me. That was the guy game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Did BMX? Wait, okay.
Nobody liked BMX XXX. That was
I forgot about the guy game.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. But, you know, it's, I mean, I guess we contributed to that. It's not like we were actively wanting to be. I think it was just more of a thing where, you know, all of our friends on IRC, the GIA folks and everything, we just became one unit, you and I. It was Alex and Ray, the goofy guys. Yes. And we sort of leaned into this bromance type of thing.
Yes. I think at least on our end, it was funny because it was like a Walter and Perry situation where it's like, they're such good friends that they're just default gay. They just have to.
Yes. Yeah.
It's because it's funny. Like, I didn't even have like a handle on my own sexuality at the time. I was in college. I was attracted to one, a sociology professor and Mike Mills from REM. And those were the only two guys until much later when I realized, like, I figured myself out. And at that time, even then, I didn't think I was anything but straight. I was just like, oh, I mean, everybody loves those two guys. Like, why wouldn't I?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And us.
So no, yes. Like it didn't even cross my mind. It was just like, yeah, we're the goof twins. That's just what we do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we brought some of that into the writing, and I don't know what people thought of it, really. No one really said. But ultimately, the site was just about us doing it by ourselves, for ourselves. But we did get some help, and I think I did send or maybe at least draft some sort of email or message, I guess, to some of our old GIA friends. Like, I gave them an open invite to write anything for the site if they felt like it. Not necessarily that they would, but everybody post GIA was kind of like going off to the four winds. Maybe they had something they wanted to post or not. They could come to us. We were at least one open place where, you know, you wouldn't get paid, but you could do it.
No. And
our friend Nick Maragos was part of that. Nick actually ended up contributing like a release roundup for us.
That's right.
It was kind of interesting. He didn't really need to do it. I mean, I certainly appreciate it. I think he was on his way getting, you know, a professional gig and all that. I mean, he did help us, I think, get some of that freelance work just before all this was going on.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
But yeah, Nick was there from the beginning. He was willing to help just do that. It didn't last for very long, but that's fine. I mean, obviously, when you have another job going, it doesn't really matter.
He was either in the process or about to drive all the way across the country. Because I remember he sent me a mix CD. Sent me a mix CD that he had made for this drive, which was, I don't know, several days. It was from his campus all the way out to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I haven't done the math. I imagine you'd have to play that CD over 100 times to make that trip.
Yeah. Also, it was Chris Jones and his wife wrote a couple little reviews for us as well. We had the now Ben Malos doing some art for certain features for us. The 10th feature anniversary special was something that we got some free art from.
What was it? What do you mean? What's the 10th? Oh, 10th feature.
Yes.
That's right.
That was the joke. That was the joke of that was... it wasn't our 10th anniversary. It was our 10th feature anniversary. But
I really wanted to. I wanted to steal a bit from The Daily Show, and I wanted to do a retrospective on a retrospective.
Okay. Yeah.
I wanted to, like, you know, just a feature that I wrote early on. I wanted to do like a 5-year retrospective where I just talk about nothing but that feature, not even the game that it's talking about, just how I wrote it and all that. And it was a dumb idea that would have maybe worked once, but anyway.
Hey, well, now you could. You can go back and post a new thing on Crunk Games about your about that fashion showdown.
No!
How you felt, where it stands now, and then a public plea for me to unpublish it.
Don't I have access to, can I just unpublish it myself?
Yeah, probably.
No, I guess I don't anymore.
I think you still have a password. I can always give you a password.
I don't know what it is.
It's okay. I'll help you out.
The last thing I published to Crunk Games, I believe, was my Dragon Warrior 3 walkthrough, complete with maps that I took, that I compiled myself.
That's right.
I think, yeah. So if you're playing Dragon Warrior 3 on the Nintendo Entertainment System, fire up that walkthrough.
I'm not.
Oh, well, you should.
Okay. Anyway, yes, we had some of our friends helping out. One of my own internet friends even wrote a review of like Dynasty Warriors 3 Extreme Legends because he loved those games so much.
Cool.
My friend Dave. But yeah. So we were working on it for the fall into the new year, 2003, and opening day was January 27th. That's when everything was ready and we put crunkgames.com live. And so
we did it.
Everything on the first day, not including some news bits, was a review, nonetheless late review of Switch for PlayStation 2. That is the port of Panic for the Sega CD. I had imported that. That was like one of my big things I needed to import for my PS2 along with Boku Natsu 2. And that had come out, I think, in October or something previously. And so I wrote a little review of that. It was also very cyclical in the sense that the first and last real article I wrote for the GIA was a profile or vault article about Panic. And so here I am now writing about the enhanced port that had just come out. And then we had features. And well, that included Nick's release list for February. So he would talk about what was going to come out in February. More of a newsy feature, but we had to put it under feature because what else were we going to do? And then, of course, Alex's 10 inappropriate moments in gaming.
It's just as 2003 as it sounds.
I'm going to have to admit, you made this header image for it that used like papyrus, and you just wrote 10 inappropriate moments in gaming in papyrus on it.
Ugh.
And I was like, yeah, this isn't even the right width I want, but...
Yeah, why would I do that?
I don't have the heart to tell him.
Is it because I was like 19?
This. Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
I think you even used a screenshot that I had of Smash Brothers Melee.
Yes. Yes, definitely. I mean, yeah, let's consider I'm not a very visual design oriented person. Also, I was super not that 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was also cognizant of that, but I didn't want to make an issue of it. So I just let it sit
well,
there.
Well, it looks like you just did.
And okay, well,
I quit.
Okay. Hit the road, Jack.
I'm quitting crunkgames.com effective immediately.
All right, fine.
Oh, wait, no. Hang on. I still use the coffee machine in the break room. I'll stick around.
All right. Well, we loved having you.
Thank you. No, I'm back.
And then another feature from me was the Vacation Sim Showdown, which was... a way to mention Boku no Natsu Yasumi 2 without actually reviewing it.
I'm going to see if I can remember the games that you highlighted. It was Boku Natsu. It was Inaka Kurashi.
Yeah.
And was there a third one?
There was three.
What? Okay. Double Dragon 3, the Rosetta Stone?
No, another Sony game, if that helps.
Oh, give me a hint.
It was the first Toro game on PS2.
Oh, is that Toro to Kyujitsu?
That was.
Yay, okay, there we go.
Yeah, baby.
My Dinner with Toro.
Sure. Oh, man, I'd pay for that.
It's a lot of squeaking.
So I called it the Vacation Sim Showdown, and I made a certain template for it with tables and stuff. Alex would then lift that wholesale to make his fashion showdown, which is fine. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's
that's
just
right.
He used the exact same template to make the Resident Evil costume, Silent Hill costume showdown thing, which of course, like I said before, got all the traffic for us from Hotlink. <But, yeah.
laughs> Putting the hot back in Hotlink.
And of course this feature is still up, And you can read it, and I say, so who wins, Adam? Hey, guess what? It's Boku no Natsu Yasumi 2. But I would go into that game in depth a year later. And so it was capsule reviews of these games that no one really would have heard of on this side of the country. Maybe there was one or two import roundup articles that might have mentioned Boku no Natsu 2, but no one had really heard of or cared about Inaka Kurashi. Which is fine. It's kind of weak, but it fits the mold for the feature. And so that and like the review of Switch was just me trying to make the statement of, yeah, this is what we're going to cover. This is what we're about. This is the Ray side of things for Crunk Games. And this is what it's going to be about. I don't know how much you thought about that, Alex, other than the fact that, yeah, I just want to make a site.
Yeah, I just want to make a site with my friend. That's about it. And I knew you were into obscure stuff. And I thought, that's good. We need one of us has to be.
One of us has to do it. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, at least, and at that point, Alex was known for liking Resident Evil and Silent Hill, maybe some other survival horror games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was the end of it, though, right? Like, Silent Hill 3 was, for me, the last good Silent Hill.
Yeah. Did you even play 4?
Yes. I had an appointment at an E3 to demo 4 in the Konami booth, and I ended up, I mean, I was a kid, and I was excited to just be at E3, so my preview was very glowing, and just like, it looks great, it's real scary, and you go into a room.
Yeah.
And then the game came out, and I spent a few hours with it alone at home, and I was like, oh. Because it's all it's. I mean, honestly, it's all the backtracking. Like, I wasn't
down on
it until it made you revisit every other area. I think as an escort mission, I'm like, why am I doing this?
Oh my god!
Can we just end the game? What's going on?
Oh goodness! All right, yeah,
yeah. And then after that, it's Resident Evil. Though, of course, I'm still a fan of that, folks. By the time you hear this, I'll be doing my charity stream for Tell Japan. Come on down to twitch.tv/hoodedpatooie.
All right.
Am I doing plugs early?
Yeah. Right. Come on. You've already earned $9 million for Tell. Congratulations.
What? No, it was
let's talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes.
Talk about
and
it in the future.
I don't see a dime of that money. Okay.
But of course, we had a crossover. Of course, we mentioned Final Fantasy and Metal Gear Solid were also things that we were both into.
Oh, yeah.
I think it ends there.
Yeah, well, there must have been some more overlap.
Maybe
right?
Metroid. I mean, but
yeah, Metroid, Mario. We both liked the Mario games, the Mario Brothers.
Yeah, sure. I don't know how much of it you were playing back then, but.
I bought Super Mario Advance 4.
Well, who didn't back then?
I was using the e-reader to get mushrooms.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Unlock levels. I unlocked some levels.
Castlevania, I guess. I think we only covered
Castlevania.
Aria of Sorrow, which everybody loved at the time. I guess it's gotten a little bit more hate recently. I don't know. Some people don't like Aria of Sorrow as much as they did.
It's fine.
Yeah. I don't know.
Circle of the Moon is the only GBA one I can't get into.
Yeah,
and I thought it was just because it was a GBA launch title, and so when I played it originally, it was on the original GBA, which is not lit in any way.
Oh
and
God,
I couldn't
no!
See shit, and the I hated the experience.
And
then I played it after the GBA ESP came out. I'm like, all right, let's play it for real. And then I still didn't like it. I was like, oh no.
Yeah,
I thought this was good.
Yep. Oh, and we were also into Dragon Quest, but nothing was really going on with Dragon Quest in 2003, 2004.
Yeah, that's right. This was before the big revival in the West in 2005.
However, Square and Enix did merge in 2003.
I think that was the last news post I wrote for the GIA.
Yeah.
Was announcing that.
And
with a crude Photoshop of Hiroshi Yamauchi with a Moogle nose and ears and pom-pom.
And then they came out with Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy in Itadaki Street Special. And that was kind of it until Dragon Quest VIII came out, as far as Dragon Quest goes. But yeah.
Yes. Yeah, because I mean let's talk about the Dragon Quest Gulf here. The Dragon Quest Gulf conflict. we got Dragon Warrior VII in 2001, right? And then it was 4 years. Yeah, it was 4 years of nothing in the West. I guess it was Dragon Warrior Monsters. I think one of the monsters came out.
Yeah, and then
or Torneko,
1 and 2 and 3
The Last Hope.
The Game Boy ones.
That's right. They're the Game Boy ones, but nothing mainline or new installments in the series until 2005, where the series was sort of reborn in the West with new translations of spell names, more care given to the translation, voice acting. It was a big deal.
Yes. Actual care.
A slime controller that if you leave it untouched for, I think, 30 days, it turns into disgusting sludge that you can never hold again.
Yeah. They really knocked
mine out
when
I moved.
That one. Yeah.
I threw mine into the trash when we moved, when we bought this place. Yeah. I was like, I've been carrying this around between two fingers for the past 17 years. I need to just drop it in the trash.
Yeah. So that was crunkgames.com for the most part. We started right at the start of 2003, rolled on for the rest of the year. There was one time where we decided to have a forum.
I don't remember this.
So this was in June, I think, of 2003, and I at least decided to give a forum a try and literally called it a field test. So we put up a post and stuff, making it clear that we were only going to try this for a month, June 21st to July 21st. Again, as a guy who didn't really know much about web development or web pages, server tech or anything, I was just trying to find forum software that was free and easy to install on our own site and customizable enough. And I had found some weird thing made in Germany, I think. I completely forget the name of it.
Das Forum?
But It was some German-made forum thing completely out of the scope of like every other popular forum that you would see. You know, some would use stuff like a PHP BB. That was like a big forum app thing that you put on a server. I forget what GAF ran on, but there was a lot of that kind of stuff. I think something awful was PHP BB or something. Anyway, a lot of different little packages. Or like subdomains you could use to get a forum, but a lot of it cost money and I didn't want to spend money because it was also going to be a test. So whatever. But I was desperate to find something that would let me customize the colors. And so with this free German thing, at least I got to use the color scheme of the rest of the website. Still, I think the wrong colors because of the gamma thing mentioned above. But yay, I found something and I put it on the site and it was really easy to do. And no one took it seriously. I mentioned that we really didn't know what other people thought of us or the website for the most part. And I think you really found that out soon after the forum went up because it was soon trolled with like people posting goatsy and or other shock pictures.
Crunk Games! I'm glad I don't remember this.
Yeah, I had to delete it. And I was like, oh, well, I guess that's a taste of what people think of us. And so it just kind of didn't go anywhere, unsurprisingly, right? No throngs of people joining, no real sense from us also of trying to compete with any of the big boys, the big forums. So yeah, the test came and went. It was clearly not going to work out. I didn't want to put the time into moderating it or trying to make it popular. And it seemed like nobody was really willing to talk about the same kind of things that we were talking about in our coverage. Maybe that's okay, because there were certainly other sites after that that did a better job with it. I think like the Insert Credit forums, Select Button, which was like an offshoot of a splinter cell of Insert Credit. Those were things that at least similar things talked about that we were doing on Crunk Games. And that was it. That was our month. We had a forum.
I don't. I have nothing to contribute other than, unless your employer is telling you to, I think it's never a wise move to specifically target gamers on the internet.
Yeah. Well, it's not a wise move to let gamers on the internet write back to you.
Have a voice? Yes, yes. Agreed.
You just post your content. Do not add a comments feature and you're gold.
No.
Yeah, that's basically how it should be done. Yeah, no, we called it the Super Forum again. That was my cute name for it. Why not, right? Blah, whatever. didn't really work out.
It's fine. We learned.
It isn't even archived. I can't even find it anymore. I don't know where it went. All I know is that I used the same color scheme, and it was a little bit ugly, and it was free, crappy forum software. That is it. That is the whole story of how we finally got Crunk Games up. Alex, I know I talked a lot. I didn't know if there was anything else that came to mind for you that you wanted to talk about here.
I feel like the ratio of you talking to me talking was about the same as things that we contributed to the actual site. So I think thematically it works out. It's pretty good.
All right. Well, of course, we will have plenty of memories to come, plenty of things to talk about as well. Yeah, I think that it worked out. I'm just glad it worked out that we got a site up and it was... You know, we kept our scope small. We knew what we wanted out of it, and it kind of stayed like that. And I'm at least proud of that. Maybe not all of the things that we wrote, but I am at least proud of the fact that we stuck to our guns as far as what we wanted to cover and how we did that.
Yeah.
And we will talk a lot more about all of that stuff. But yeah, getting it up was, you know, fun. I have fond memories of staying up all night trying to figure out the design of the thing and what colors look good on my monitor, at least, and coming up with little ways to make the reviews and previews a little bit different. For example, the 25 words saying little things that, you know, if we were at least going to act or look a little bit like the GIA, at least one of these little things that would differentiate us somehow.
And while you were putting the site together, I have fond memories of living in my first dorm room, not having any friends, awkwardly getting drunk and playing bass guitar in the common area when I didn't know how to play bass guitar. Just generally avoiding people and writing about Resident Evil sometimes.
Yeah, Resident Evil costumes.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently you played a lot of that Resident Evil remake. And so you.
I was so excited. I wasn't excited to do news, but I was excited to post new screenshots on the GIA. Every time Capcom released new screenshots for the RE remake, I was like, I got them. I'll post them. No problem.
Yeah.
I was very excited for that game, and it came out, and I loved it. I still love it. I'm playing it next week.
This guy loves screenshots.
I do.
Yeah. That's right. You were playing it on your little stream there. No,
Yes.
All eight Resident Evils.
Nine. We're starting with zero.
Oh, okay, sure. Right.
Yeah.
You got any room there for dead aim?
No.
All right. Are you the kind of guy that can still like run through a lot of them by memory?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. RE 1, 2, 3, 4, and 8. The rest I don't know as well. The rest are 5 I finished but once. 6 and 7 I never finished. 6 I never even played.
Oh, yes.
I know. Yeah, that's going to be a fun one.
That should be a fun one. I hope you like third-person shooters.
I do.
Okay, because that is one.
That's yeah, you mean like RE4? Yes, I do.
Well, I mean, really, like, really. 6 is really.
Really?
Really.
Really? Is that your Bill Maher?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Great.
He was also big in 2003. No, I guess not.
Yeah, he was also in Resident Evil.
Still is.
Yeah.
He's the monster.
Hey, you think someone has the forum named Bill Mario?
Yeah.
All right.
Neon, insert credit. Found me there. I'm posting about Boku no Natsu Yasumi. Yeah, and of course, I was playing a lot of Switch on PS2. And Inaki Kurashi, and I guess Boku no Natsu asked me too for my FAQ. I was probably writing that FAQ around the same time it was going up on Crunk Games, that feature on the first day. So, yeah.
That's right.
But yeah, a couple of goofs from IRC managed to make their own website. And so
that's right. And it's still there to this day.
Yes, it is. And as I've said before, I've reinstated the Game Boy Advance 2003 Buyer's Guide with our thoughts on Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. And I think a Hamtaro game.
Ham games?
No, the first one before that.
Oh, the Tylenol murders?
That's the one.
Did he solve those?
No.
Okay.
No, he was disbarred.
Wait. Okay.
You can't disbar a detective. All right. Yes, that was blinggames.com, and this has been a Game Side About Nothing. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Yeah.
You can, of course, continue to listen to this if you are still a Golder subscriber on patreon.com/normalwhoppers. You know the drill, of course.
Until next time, stay crunky. Bye.
We'd stay up all night till morning, surfing online, browsing the pages. We'd strike gold if we dug deeper. Maybe a file, maybe a lyric, and the loading times were long, but we had time.